The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah in the 61st chapter, verses 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will build the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our Lord. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalter appointed for today is the 98th Psalm. Please respond. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has revealed to his nations saving power.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing praise to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, sing joyfully before the King, the Lord.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Save God from whom all blessings flow. I broke into song.
That's good. Keep going, sister. You got it. Go ahead. Finish for us.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank you. That's in the spirit of this season of Pentecost, you allow the Spirit to move in song. That's wonderful, and to bring praise to God. Let's rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel this morning. I have to start using you on Sunday. You know, it's like watching baseball. You got your midweek pitchers, and you say, oh boy, they're showing some good stuff. We got to move them to the weekend, you know, a Friday starter or a Sunday starter. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus is speaking. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. He says these words to us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, with hearts of thanksgiving, we come together this morning to be able to hear from your holy word, to spontaneously speak, to break into song of celebration that brings praise and honor and glory to you. Lord, may these words that I'm about to speak to your flock. May the meditations of their hearts and my heart be pleasing in your sight this morning, O God. And may the ladies have a beautiful meeting and a wonderful lunch. We pray this in your blessed name, the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of God's children said, Amen. I invite you to be seated. And thank you, Miss Sheila, for reading for us this morning. I'm going to go grab those readings from off the lectern. That was graceful. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. How many people believe that? Your hands ought to go up. How many people actually think the nations are paying attention? Hands are probably going to go down. But boy, how prophetic this can be when we turn back over to what the prophet said about this sort of thing. He says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Anybody in here think about something in their life? And listen, poor doesn't have to just be about finances or money. You can be poor and different. You may be poor at a moment in time in your relationships. You know, you feel like you don't have anyone else around you. You could be poor at a particular time in your spiritual life. You feel like, you know, you're just, something's missing. You're not connecting. Your prayer life is suffering because you got a list of other things to do and the enemy is using that list to distract you. So how many have ever had a chance where you're kind of feeling poor in some area of your life? Or how many of you have been brokenhearted? These are all things we can relate to. And the prophet is saying, hey, listen, I've been anointed to bring this good news to you, to proclaim freedom to captives. If we think about the first question I just asked, you know, how many of the nations of the world, if we just kind of look at this globally, are recognizing the power that the Lord has revealed his saving power to the nations, folks are captive. They're captive to the ways of the world. And we may find ourselves even falling prey to that. We may turn on the news and get depressed by what we see. You can maybe go on vacation, and I know some of you world travelers might have seen, there's these beautiful, old, ancient churches spread throughout parts of the world, Europe, into the Mediterranean area. Some of those are very well kept, and they're gorgeous, but they're not churches anymore. They've become museums, you know? Somebody's making a buck off of it because they're bringing tourists through. And then, you know what else? There are other churches, gorgeous, old, beautiful churches in this world. They're just decrepit. They're not kept up. They're not used. They're no longer consecrated for use of celebration of God's holy word or his sacraments. And some of them have even fallen into the hands of other faiths. Some have become Hindu temples or Islamic mosques. So we see this sort of destruction within the world, and it makes us sort of pause and think, but we remember what the prophet Isaiah says here. He says about the Lord's people. Number one, he says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Well, that's us. But we can't become that oak of righteousness unless we're willing to stand up straight like an oak does. And first of all, before that, we need to be a seed that gets planted, and we need to give ourselves time to grow. But even more so than us, we need to be thinking about the next generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our church's children in those generations. Are we planting them as seeds that they're going to grow up and be strong trees for the Lord? Notice what Isaiah says here. He says, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. not for the display of our splendor, not for the display of their splendor. They're a testament to who he is. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. And I happen to believe that that's a prophetic word about the potential for Christianity to again be the powerful saving force in the world that we once saw it to be throughout history. The people who are much smarter than me on these kinds of things look at America and they say, we live in a post-Christian nation. I didn't even know what that was at first. How do you get post-Christian? But we kind of are, because we have slipped so far away from what the meaning of Christianity is within the church. And meanwhile, the nation has slipped away from even the righteousness, the goodness of the teachings of Holy Scripture. So that does kind of place us in this sort of post-Christian world that we find ourselves living in. But again, the prophet wants us to know that we have this ability. I said for a moment ago, you might turn the news on and you're going to see stuff. It might make you feel crummy. It may make you feel depressed. You may sit here and go, what kind of world is this that we're living in? But if you go back to what he was saying this morning, we heard Miss Sheila reading to us, he says that the day of vengeance of our God is to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, bestow upon them, watch this, he starts switching things out, bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Ashes being a sign, particularly in the Old Testament, of penance and of recognition of the self as being unworthy. And what he's saying is, yeah, when you get to that point that you recognize that because of your, as we professed in our confession of sin today, that we've left things undone that we should have done, and that there's things we've done that we should not have done, when we confess it, we get to actually trade out those ashes of mourning, and God wants to give us a crown of beauty for that. Instead of mourning, he says that he wants to give us a garment of praise. To praise ourselves? No. To praise him so that the world sees us praising him. Instead of a spirit of despair, he wants us to give us that garment of praise. What is a spirit of despair? This is from the NIV, and I really do love the NIV, but I think the King James gets this one a little bit better. In the King James, that term is used, a spirit of heaviness. And I ask you for a moment, if you think back again about anything that's going on in your life, now or recently or in the past, have you ever experienced, and you probably have, a spirit of heaviness over your life? Well, I think one of the things the prophet wants you to know is that is not of God. A spirit of despair, a spirit of heaviness is not of God. It's not what God wants you experiencing. God wants you to be clothed in a garment of praise. He wants you, even in the face of that despair, which is not of him, therefore it comes of the enemy, he wants you to step out in faith and to be a praise lover, a lover of God who is not afraid to offer praises, even when it seems like you don't even know why you're doing that. You know you're feeling crummy, you're feeling despair, you're feeling heavy. God is saying, step out and praise anyway. Let me exchange this for you. Because as long as you keep accepting that kind of crud from the enemy, God's going, I got no room in your life. I can't give you anything else if you keep taking that crud. And so that brings us today, and we'll wrap it up here, with what we heard from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This is a very personal sort of message from him to us from 2,000 years ago, but it's still so appropriate. You are the light of the world. Let me back up. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, what is this a reference to? Salt is, we think of it, it flavors our food, right? That's a good thing. Salt also, particularly in this time when it's being written, was a preservative. It helped keep things staying longer and healthier. And God knows we need some preservation in the body of Christ these days. We need longer lasting Christians. We need healthier Christians. And he says, but if it loses its salt, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. This may sound a little radical. This may not be the most Christian thing for me to say, and I'll take it to God in prayer a little later today and see if this was something I shouldn't have said. But I wonder if, as Christians, there are some folks and some churches and some ministers and some denominations somewhere that we just need to stand up and say, we're done with you. You've lost the saltiness. What you've done, actually, is you've degraded the Word of God. You've not preserved it. You've sugarcoated it. And sugar is not the same thing as salt, so you need to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Again, maybe not the nicest thing, but when I look around at the state of Christianity in our nation, I don't know what else we can do because they've turned away from these teachings. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. What does that mean? You got to shine your light. You don't put a light underneath a bowl and hide it. A city that's all lit up at night up on a hill, that can't be hidden unless like extreme fog comes in, but that doesn't happen every day. The fact of the matter is light is for seeing and to be seen. In the same way, he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, see your good works. Why? Because you want some sort of special favor here on earth, like, oh, what a great person they are. Look at all that they do for charity and for the church. No. Why? So that it glorifies your Father in heaven. Your motivation towards your good deeds needs to reflect for other people to see, but not so that it brings glory to you, so that it brings glory to God. So my encouragement to us today, and there's, what, 2, 4, 5, 6 of us. 6 can be a powerful, mighty little army, though. And if we are prayerful about the state of the faith, and we're prayerful about asking the Holy Spirit to show us when we need to praise forth and sing his praises and be a witness to the world, and when we're faithful to pray for our churches and to pray for our members and to pray for church growth and to pray for ministers in particular to be true to the Word of God, then we can start to see ourselves perhaps living out some of what this prophet is talking about today, where we're going to rebuild ancient ruins. We're going to restore places that are long devastated. We're going to renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for nations. And you will be called priest of the Lord. You will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. In other words, the Lord's saying, you do this, and I will find a way to use the riches of the earth to actually take care of you in the process of doing that. And you know what? I'm going to close it out on this, because this gets restated in the New Testament in the epistle of 1 Peter. Listen to these words, because this, again, this is you. This is literally you. You, Christian, are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, serving the King of Kings. You are a holy nation. Remember, in the Old Testament, it was literally about a nation called Israel. It's not that anymore. It's a holy nation of peoples that are the body of Christ. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Ladies, that is the gospel, and it's good news. And if you receive that good news this morning, let me hear you say, amen. Amen.